Support for Impact Cincinnati comes from Murray and Robin Sinclair.
Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Every year, hundreds and hundreds of students drop out before graduation from high school. The decision affects the rest of their lives. But research shows students who have a mentor to help them along are much more likely to graduate and succeed in the future. This morning, we're going to talk about the mentoring program. It's part of a series of programs we'll be doing this year, along with CET, as part of the American Graduate Program. Joining me today are Cincinnati Youth Collaborative Vice President of Mentoring, Simone Bess, Cincinnati Youth Collaborative Mentoring Coordinator, Donald Swain, and Donald Swain's mentee, Daryl Long, who is a member of the CYC Mentoring Program. You can email your questions to impact@wvxu.org or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly glad to have you all here. One of the things that I got a little bit confused about myself was the difference between mentoring and tutoring. And I think an awful lot of people think if you're a mentor, then you are automatically a tutor, and that is your job. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, historically, mentoring is about a social-emotional relationship. So it's a little different from an academic mentor or a tutor. When we match the young people in our program one-on-one, the focus is initially on the individual child or young person, and it's their social-emotional development that we are first and foremost concerned with. But certainly, during the length of a relationship, a volunteer might engage in academic support, but the priority is on building a relationship with that young person.
Donald, can you talk a little bit about what it's like to be a mentor? You've done this an awful lot.
Well, it's not very different than being involved with a relationship with a mother, brother, father, sister. The same type of energy, the same type of compassion goes into that relationship. The one thing I found that as a mentor, I'm able to be a bit more open and honest with my mentee because I don't have to worry so much about protecting him as I would a child. I can have fun with him. I can be very direct with him, and it's just an open, fun-type arrangement.
Now, how long have you two been paired up together?
We've been together,
about six or seven years.
And how old are you?
I'm 18.
You're 18. So this has been through all of your formative
all of my
years,
high school
I guess,
year
yeah?
And half of my elementary.
Tell us what you felt about. Did you sign up to get a mentor? How did that work?
Me and Mr. Swain actually, we start doing little things together until we just thought we were compatible for each other, and we decided to do the mentoring thing. At first, it was a little intimidating for me because the word, I mean, that everyone thinks, some people thinks that mentoring is for behavioral needs child, and that's not the case at all. It's for someone that needs that extra role model in their life, or want somebody to motivate them to go further in life.
So did you sign up to say, hey, you'd be willing to consider it, or did you guys meet somewhere else? How did you meet?
I never signed up for a mentor. Mrs. Wayne brought it to my attention one day, and I accepted.
And how did you find Daryl?
Well, actually, we were part of a young gentleman's program, which is a group mentoring type situation, and Daryl happens to be a student in one of the programs, and we would often provide professional males to come and speak about life's experience, talk about different businesses, and Daryl happened to be a participant in the group. In fact, we took the entire fifth grade class of Van Burton Elementary, and it was only 35, but we ended up with a core of about 20 students. Again, Daryl was there. We met twice a week, and I noticed that every time I come into this room, there was this character sitting over there in the corner and sort of focusing on everything that I do and everything that I say and the way that I dress. And, you know, it became apparent that we have made a connection. So I did approach him. He was selected to go to some football camps during the summer, and we're talking about the fifth or sixth grade. We did that a couple of summers. We were doing things off-site, unofficially. And I realized that as a coordinator, that I should make this a formal relationship instead of being informal. And I asked Daryl, his mother accepted, and we went on from there.
You know, I think what's been mentioned here is this whole notion of group mentoring. We do group mentoring, we do one-on-one mentoring, and we support tutoring initiatives. And so there are a lot of ways that volunteers can get involved, and it depends on their initial comfort level with the situation. So oftentimes a tutoring experience that is school-based and a little bit more regimented may be a more comfortable beginning point for a volunteer, or a group setting. As Donald explained, his Young Gentlemen's Club was several African-American males who supported the young males at Burton Elementary some 7 or 8 years ago.
Well, it's interesting, and I should let everybody know, and I'll say this throughout the program, that on our website, WVXU.org, if you click on the Cincinnati League link, the Impact Cincinnati page has links to all kinds of information about mentoring and if you'd like to sign up and all those sorts of things. So please don't hesitate to check all of that out there. If someone is interested in mentoring and they're just thinking about it, they heard about it on this show, where do you start? Does it require training? What do you have to do?
It starts with the idea, of course, that they are committed to improving the life of a young person and subsequently making a positive impact on their own lives. So if that interest is there, if they are caring and concerned about the young people in this community, they can go to our website and sign up on an online application. So that's the beginning step. There's an application that is collected. Following the application, there's a training, an orientation training that's required. There's screening that is required to, of course, protect the interests of our young people. And then after that, a match is made. A match is identified based on the information from their application, the young person's application, what the people who are bringing together this pair know about each of them, and then a match is made.
So it's not like you're just paired up with somebody randomly. You try very hard to find people maybe with similar interests or...
Absolutely. You know, I've got very seasoned mentoring coordinators like Donald who know how to do this intuitively and scientifically so that it works.
Do you have a chance to meet with a mentee first before you decide? Like, you sort of had this informal meeting together and you realized you clicked. I mean, mm-hmm. There could be people that look great on paper, and then when you get them together, maybe the click isn't there, and others that really work well together.
Well, typically I'll get a number of calls from parents asking for a mentor for their child, and I'm very straightforward with the parent. I let them know, let me speak with the child first to find out where they are, where they really might be with respect to having someone step into their lives. And I spend at least a lunch period with each student, just getting some feel for what their home life is like, what they expect, or do they know anything about the mentoring program, what type of person would really be a wonderful hero for them. And once they explain to me that, well, I just want somebody I can do this, that with, and I ask them, what do you like to do? What do you find exciting about school? And once I gather that information, then when I speak with a mentor, I'll let him know that, well, this is the profile of the child. What do you think? If you're looking for a project, we can certainly hook you up with a project. If you're looking for a student that's somewhat artistically inclined, we can do that as well. So that's where it starts.
When a person signs up to be a mentor, You talk a little bit about training. What kinds of things are, what type of training? How long does it last? What do they have to go through?
The initial training is an orientation training that lasts 2 hours. And it provides some basic information about what a mentor is, what qualities of a good mentor look like, what some of the hurdles or handicaps or obstacles that you might confront, and how to circumvent that, who your contact and liaison would be to help support you through the relationship, how our system works, where basically to get support that we need. We know in a 2-hour training we can't give you a lot of education, but we can give you the basics. So it's really the basics about building relationships, about the community, maybe the school, depending on how targeted the particular training is. So it's a condensed, tight, welcome to mentoring training.
A lot of information at once then.
Yes.
And then there's more training after that as well?
If volunteers want to, yes. And there's ongoing support through mentoring coordinators who are the first line of contact and communication with volunteers and parents.
One of the things you mentioned is the qualities of a good mentor. What are the qualities of a good mentor? I mean, what are you looking for in mentors?
Daryl, what do you think?
I think the qualities of a good mentor, from what I've seen, is a mentor that doesn't judge. If I go to my mentor and I tell him that I need help in this academic area, and he says to me, you know, this is not good at all, you shouldn't be making these grades, I'm looking for him to say, I can help you with that. I can get a tutor for you. A good mentor was someone with a good attitude that can work with children, I believe, and someone to motivate you to go further. Someone is just there for you spiritually, emotionally, academically, anything like that.
You know, what better way to find out what a good mentor is other than from a good relationship? You know, certainly Daryl nailed those qualities. We're not looking for super ordinary people. You know, mentoring is a special, super kind of ordinary activity that happens or a function that happens, but ordinary people make excellent mentors.
We do explain that from the beginning that the relationship is about academics. It's about pairing a child with a caring adult that will see them through graduation. Now, that's not to say during that trip you can't have fun, because when I think back on some of the unusual things that Daryl and I have been engaged that's far removed from academics, I remember we've gone to apple orchard, and we learned about different types of apples, and the experience, the bonding, as we're picking and we're eating and we're judging apples, and we're just pulling them straight from the tree. And Daryl commented, "Mr. Swain, I thought apples were only fresh because they came out of the refrigerator that way."
And that's, I think that's very interesting, because me and Mr. Swain found grounds that we were compatible on, that we have in common. I don't expect Mr. Swain to take me to a Lil Wayne concert, but going to Apple Orchard and Globetrotters game, those are the things that, you know, are so fun to do with someone that's definitely not in the same age group as you.
Do you ever try to get him to like your music? Or
no, because I know he won't.
No. Right. No, we don't waste each other's time. We had an opportunity to visit an antique car show, whereby some of the antique cars were $250,000 and up, you know. And Daryl would ask me, "Well, Mr. Swain, what type of person would buy an old car like that?" And I said, "I have no idea."
Go ask the owners, right? And say, "Why in the heck did you buy that car?" This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about mentoring, and we're going to continue our discussion in just a moment.
Support comes from the Friends of the Public Library, hosting their annual Winter Warehouse event, 8456 Vine Street, January 12th through the 15th, Thursday 10 to 7:30, Friday and Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday noon to 5. Thousands of records and CDs, DVDs, and VHS tapes, plus many books for children and adults. Information online at friends.cincinnatilibrary.org.
Support comes from Green Bean Delivery. Green Bean Delivery, delivering fresh organic produce and natural groceries year-round to its Greater Cincinnati members. Green Bean Delivery reminds listeners to start the year off right by committing to a healthier lifestyle. For more information, visit greenbeandelivery.com.
Support comes from Hawksworth Blood Center. Patients at 31 area hospitals benefit from donations at daily blood drives and neighborhood donor centers. Hawksworth Blood Center, University of Cincinnati, is recruiting new donors and welcoming back former donors. You can visit hawksworth.org to take action.
Good morning. This is 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. You're listening to Impact Cincinnati. We're talking today about mentoring. My guests, Cincinnati Youth Collaborative Vice President of Mentoring, Simone Bess, Cincinnati Youth Collaborative Mentoring Coordinator and Mentor, Donald Swain, and Donald's mentee, Daryl Long, who, of course, is a member of the CYC Mentoring Program. If you have a question, email it to impact@wvxu.org or posted on our Facebook page. We also want to remind you, as we talk about mentoring, we do have a number of links on our website with information. You can go to WVXU.org, click on the Cincinnati link, and find the Impact Cincinnati page. Also information when you dial 211 about mentoring. You've talked a lot about sort of what you do and how you're gathering together. What kind of time commitment? And Daryl, maybe what do you expect Mr. Swain to how much time do you expect him to spend with you in a week? Well, it would help if I turn your mic on. Okay, go ahead.
I expect Mr. Swain to call me at least once a week. Even though me and Ms. Swain have developed this relationship to where we maybe call each other every day, but, you know, between an original mentor and a mentee relationship, once a week, once a week, once a month for 1 year.
1 hour.
1 hour.
Once a week for a year is the initial commitment. We know from a research standpoint that anything less than that will reduce the positive impact that the relationship will be able to gain. So we ask volunteers to be sure that they have 1 hour once a week for a year to commit to being engaged with this young person.
But you guys have been together for 7 years. Mm,
yes. That's
they're an exception.
So that is right. So most people don't stay on quite that long? Or?
No. On average, in our organization, we actually keep volunteers for about 3 years, which is much, much higher than a national average of 9 months.
And Daryl, you said you were in fifth grade when you all first met. Is
yes.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you usually start out that young? Is it someone where you get them in high school? I mean, does it matter what age level you start?
Well, of course, it matters. And the earlier that we can engage a young person in a caring adult situation outside of a family, the better. So, we typically start about fifth grade is more of the average, but certainly fourth, third, and even second grade can be appropriate time for a young person to get a mentor.
And you talk a lot about the importance of this and how it makes a difference. How do you define success? How do you know when the relationship really has been successful?
Well, of course, we have hundreds of stories like Donald and Daryl's stories that showcase the positive impact these relationships have. And in addition to stories, we have our quantitative data where we actually look at the individual records of each child in our program and measure their success. Academically, we measure their attendance patterns and their disciplinary activity. And what we know is that those young people who have mentors fare much better than young people who do not.
What about the graduation rates? This is all related
much
to graduation.
Higher. Much higher. Our organization's mission, of course, is to get young people through secondary education and on to some through elementary and high school and on to some type of post-secondary experience. So we know that mentoring makes a significant impact in increasing the graduation rates of young people.
Donald, you made a big face when we talked about
it. No, I was recalling our graduation rate for the students that are in our program. We're looking at 95% to 98%.
Now, do you think that that is directly related to the mentoring, or do you find that the students who become mentees are more likely to be the ones that would graduate anyway?
I think it's a combination. We can't certainly isolate it and say it's only the mentor. It's quality education. It's knowing what your future holds and being positively focused on your future that propels young people to do the things that they need to do to make it to the next level.
What types of people, in terms of where they are in their lives, you think of people who are parents of their own right now, do you have many people who are already parents, you know, I don't want to call mentoring parenting, but taking on another child, or are these young singles, or are they people that are empty nesters? Who really participates?
Our typical profile is an older individual that has gone through raising a family, i.e. Dr. Swain or Mr. Swain. Typically, we get volunteers who, on average, are about 40 years old. But certainly the young professional group and the senior population are growing in numbers. I think it just depends on how it's marketing, what time that individual and talent that individual thinks they have to contribute. We do get young couples who mentor kids. They bring them in and fold them into what's going on in their daily life, and so it doesn't create a huge additional burden on an already existing family to include, you know, one more child.
And do you find that it's all? Do you always
pair up same sex? Is it men with boys and women with girls? And
typically we do. There are some isolated situations where cross-gender relationships might be appropriate.
I did get a number of questions, and this one is from Riyadh, who talks about certification and training, and apparently he's involved with a program separate from yours that a lot of certification goes into it. Do you require certification? Is that necessary? And how does that all work?
You know, there is a growing concern with who is appropriate for mentoring relationships. And the good thing in this region is that there are a lot of other organizations aside from ours that do mentoring. At CYC, we know that we are relying on normal, typical, ordinary people to step up to the plate and volunteer. There are certainly programs in the area that are more therapeutic in nature that require the certification, that require the higher level expertise around youth development, emotional, social growth, and some other kinds of more specific training that might be necessary. But when we look for kids in our program, we're looking for the kids in the middle. The kids who need a little of additional help that most volunteers with a little bit of training can assist. There is, of course, the other end of the spectrum that does require the higher levels of training and certification.
You talked about pairing people up cross-gender, cross-race as well. Do you do that as
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. It's a necessity in this environment. We struggle with increasing the number of African-American mentors that we have. Most mentoring programs have that same struggle. So cross-racial matches actually are more prevalent than same race matches. But what we know from the research is that it doesn't matter. Cross-racial matches have just as much impact as same race matches.
This is from a professor at Miami University who says they've implemented an on-campus alternative school that provides tutoring and one-to-one mentoring for local at-risk youth. She says they have good data suggesting the program helps both the teens and the young adults who work with them, but now they're interested in bringing the model to other colleges and universities because they've had a lot of success, and they wondered if you had any advice for them about how to raise awareness about the program and perhaps spread it elsewhere.
You know, data certainly speaks, especially if you're talking about a university or college campus. Those individuals who might have impact on supporting a program would need to see their evidence of success. And that begins to build a story for being able to pass it on. But they can call me and I can talk. There are a couple of national organizations that specifically look at mentoring at a college campus, which is a little different from what we do, but they're out there.
You talk about spending 1 hour a week for one year. What was the third one?
1 hour once a week.
Once a week for a year. What about costs? I mean, obviously people can give of their time, but is there a cost involved? I mean, you talk about going places together and, you know, I guess there must be some financial aspect to it.
Well, you know, gas costs is an issue. And so finding matches that are close in proximity becomes important. You know, it's very difficult to sustain a relationship from the west side and the east side. You know, it just doesn't happen very frequently. So certainly geographic location becomes an issue as we match to be able to decrease the potential costs of that relationship. But certainly the types of support that we provide as an organization, we send out information and provide low-cost free event kinds of things for our mentors to help combat that price. You know, but even we know that a McDonald's, Daryl is much too big for a Happy Meal, but even those have a cost associated with it. But we try as best we can as an organization to offset that cost.
So if you want to spend money on your mentee, you're more than welcome to, but it's not a requirement?
We certainly say that we don't recommend it and that you do things like the library. I don't think the Orchard costs anything to go. Yeah. So we want you to look for low cost or free activities so that there's not an expectation that I'm going to Kings Island once a month.
Do you guys exchange gifts at the holidays? Do you do that sort of thing? So there's a little bit of that there.
A little bit, but again, that's not the focus of the relationship, and we strongly discourage gift giving.
Well, typically in most mentoring relationships, you sort of incorporate them into your family. Mm-hmm. incorporate them in family activities, incorporate them into just daily activities. Fortunate for me, I live about maybe 5 minutes from Darryl, so I can call him up on a moment's notice when he's not working and say, hey, let's run here, let's run there, and typically he is available.
Do you like to do that, just sort of tag along in the daily activities? And
yeah, I always like my daily rides with Mr. Smith. Yeah, we always spark up a conversation to where we laugh all the way from point A to point B, always.
We talk a lot about what a good, how you describe a good mentor. How do you choose the mentees? Who are the students that you think are the best to be part of the program?
Well, we really work closely with the district to help pre-select students and prioritize students based on their needs and their qualifications and what we can bring to the table in terms of a mentoring relationship. So it's a working partnership between the district, the young people, and their parents and our organization to best select those students who are suited to be mentored.
You talk about their needs. Is this often children from single-parent families, or does that even play into it?
It does play into it. If you look across the country, we have a growing number of single-family households, so certainly single-parenting is something that happens frequently in our mentoring relationships. Not exclusively, but it does happen frequently.
Darryl, from a mentee, what would you say to somebody who's considering becoming a mentor? What would you say to convince them to go ahead and do this?
I would convince them by saying that if you do, you can always have an impact on that person's life, such as me. Before Mr. Swain came in the picture, I always thought that making good grades was, you know, just for my mom's sake. I was getting treats from her. School, it didn't have that much of a meaning to me until Mr. Swain came into the picture. My point is that having a mentor has an impact on your life, and it will, you know, motivate you to go further in life, just as graduating from high school, graduating from college. And if you get that relationship with your mentor, as me and Mrs. Swain, you will continue to have that bond until you graduate from college, and you will have, you know, that visiting, calling, anything like that.
Do you think that you are performing differently in school now than you would have been if Mr. Swain wasn't involved in your life?
Yes, because Mr. Swain has put me into programs such as reading programs. So as far as my academics and reading, they have increased. So, of course.
And your advice for someone who wants to be a mentor? We just have a few seconds left.
Well, my advice to someone that wants to be a mentor is that if you've been a parent, and you've been a grandparent, I often tell those that say, hey, I'm not special, I often tell them, if you have that ingredient, you cannot put that in a closet. That experience accounts for something, means something. Get involved with a young child. You'd be surprised what that experience will do for you.
We're out of time. That you, real quick, Simone.
I actually mentored as a young professional right out of college as a newlywed, and flash forward 14, 15 years later, that young person found me and said, hey, I never got a chance to say how much that year meant to me. Thank you. So there was testimony for me from my own experience that it worked.
Thank you so much. We certainly appreciate it. Want to let everyone know that CET will also be doing a program on mentoring on Friday. That's tomorrow night at 7:30. Thanks for listening to Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. My guests today were Cincinnati Youth Collaborative Vice President of Mentoring Simone Bess, Cincinnati Youth Collaborative Mentoring Coordinator Donald Swain, and Darryl Long, member of the CYC Mentoring Program. The views and opinions expressed on Impact Cincinnati are not necessarily those of WVXU, Cincinnati Public Radio, or its underwriters. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.
Support comes from the Murray and Agnes Season Good Good Government Foundation, encouraging citizen participation in public affairs.